And good morning. It's time for another Tom and Shane podcast, and we're happy to have you along with us. Thanks very much for being here. If you're your first time here, hey, why not subscribe and ring the notification bell, like us, leave a comment. YouTube likes that when you do things like that. We appreciate it very much. And of course, if you like to support us monetarily, do it with Patreon, whatever the heck it is. There's a link in the description below to help you out with that. And we're brought to you, of course, by StreamYard, and they are great. Even I can make this happen, so there we are. So, pretty good. All right, Shane. Well, this morning, we've got to talk about volcanoes or volcanoes. What are volcanoes? Why do we care?
Well, the relevance of it is we wouldn't exist without volcanoes. Our planet wouldn't exist. Our way of life wouldn't have existed. Life itself. The fact is that, several billion years ago, when this planet came about because of gravity and dust and rock gathered, the one thing that it didn't have was water. So it relied on the asteroids. And for some reason, part of being in the sweet spot of, being the third planet from the sun and where we are, for over 100 million years, our planet was bombarded with massive amounts of asteroids, which, are comets, which, as you know, are ice. They're basically ice and minerals, and some believe some forms of life or DNA. So it's a matter of having received all of this from space, this water, as it were, that the planet was able to create an atmosphere, a troposphere, and growth and life became the norm, over hundreds of millions of years.
Yeah, it's been quite a ride, actually, with all this stuff. Well, there's 1,350 active volcanoes running around, Shane. 500 of them have erupted in what we call historical time, I guess, the last few hundred years that we've kept track of these things, of course, volcanoes and climate change are an issue, have been for centuries, I guess. So,
this is great. We've talked about the global issue with the planet, and it's now on the record. We need to add this to that record, because this is something I don't think most people are aware of. You look at we've all heard of the Ring of Fire, and as you said, there's over or close to 1,500 what geologists and scientists call active volcanoes, which have erupted in recent history, like in a lot of years. And, the country with the most volcanoes right now, is the United States. They have 161 Holocene volcanoes, they're called. And 42 have been active since the 1950s. Japan is second. They're Japan, little tiny Japan, 122 with 43 active. Indonesia, we see on the news quite often because they're erupting all the time. 121.
Well, he froze up a little bit. Yes. There we go.
That are active. Oh, okay. Indonesia has 121 volcanoes. 58 are active and erupted since 1950. Russia's got 107. The importance of this is how much carbon do they release, massive amounts? How much is it in relevance to what we're being told by these people about the end of the world? Not even comparable. One volcano in Indonesia 2 years ago erupted, released more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere than all the cars have ever created in 140 years. So these are things that we're astounded, mm-hmm. you and I, that geologists and biologists and anthropologists and historians, they don't want to talk about it because it doesn't fit the narrative of the this whole thing, the Green New Deal and global warming, because man has nothing to do with it. Man is not as great as they would have you believe. All the secularists that think man is great and can do something about this, they can't. So real quick, we'll get into a couple other things with numbers, and I'll let you go from there.
Okay. In 1815, we had the eruption of Mount Tambora, and that produced enough ash and aerosols to cancel summer in Europe and North America in 1816. It was the year with no summer. The aerosol
and the island disappeared.
Yeah, the aerosol reflects the sun back into space and cools the planet, and that's what happened with this particular volcano. There was two of them actually that went off close to each other, and then in Mount St. Helens, they both released carbon dioxide on a scale similar to human output for about 9 hours. So yeah, it's pretty interesting. The other thing is that you know, we talk about Yellowstone blowing one of these days. They have an earthquake every 5.1 hours, Shane. 17,000 earthquakes in the last 10 years. So all of these things contribute, you know, to the life of the planet, if you want to talk about it from that standpoint.
That's right. Most people in the United States are familiar with Mount St. Helens and Yellowstone Park. And these are what are considered active. Mm-hmm. Volcanoes, because there's surface action, surface release of gases and steam. You know, real quick, if everybody needs to appreciate that, you know, the great oxygenation event or extinction event, the first one, scientists tell us was over 2.4 billion years ago, the pre-Cambrian period. Now, this was rising levels of oxygen in the atmosphere due to all of these asteroids that brought or comets that brought water to the Earth, and it created what was called, what geologists call a snowball, the snowball Earth event, and created the Hurrian glaciation. So another period, 542 million years ago, the Endocrine extinction. It was an anoxic event because of volcanoes on the Ordovian Silurian 450 million years ago, global cooling and sea level drop, and there was a gamma ray burst from the sun caused global warming and creating volcanism on the planet, and anoxia, you know, on the planet, you know, you have the late Devonian extinction, the Permian extinction
event. There's no way to pronounce these words. Scientists made this stuff up. You can't pronounce any of this crap.
Jurassic extinction event 200 million ago. This was clearly a volcanic extinction. And then, you know, the most important is the, you know, the Cretaceous extinction event 66 million years ago. And totally, guess what? Volcanism. So, you know, this thing about man destroying the earth, this thing about the end of the world because of man, sorry, folks, not even close. I mean, you might think we're great, but we're not. Oh, by the way, we're so infinitable and irrelevant. We couldn't even stop the volcanism on this planet. We could only make it worse, meaning any active volcano, you can't stop. You can't plug it. You can't blow it up. You can't stop it. You can't douse it. You know,
There's not much you can.
It's a pretty.
Well, also, too, we need to talk about the Ring of Fire, Shane. That is a ring around half the world here. As you can see from our graphic here, that volcanoes are ring the coasts of virtually all the way over to Russia, China, and the Middle East and Indonesia, all the way down to Australia and up through Canada and Alaska and all the way down to the tip of South America. So we've got volcanoes all through that whole area. Yeah, we've got there's also volcanoes that a lot of people don't realize, Shane, under the ocean. A lot of 80%. Volcanic eruption, is underwater. So
80%.
Yeah. So how much cooling or heating of the water does that do?
Well, that's right. And you know, there's three types of volcanoes. There's a cinder cone volcano, which we're all familiar with. That's like Mount Fuji, which is, by the way, an active volcano. It's releasing gas constantly. Excuse me. a composite volcano, which is stratovolcanoes underwater. And then, of course, you have shield volcanoes that are all over the planet, but mostly underwater. And that's where one plate is diverging under another plate. And that's creating a long length of opening to the volcano, to the igneous rock underneath. And that's what's created the Hawaiian Islands, as an example. You know, the Hawaiian Islands, as we all know, they're composite volcanoes that have grown over millions of years from the base of the Pacific clear to the top. And then, millions of years. And look how beautiful they are, because guess what, folks? The most remarkable thing about volcanoes is it constantly nourishes the planet with minerals, natural minerals,
Well, it creates topsoil. You create topsoil.
With the dust and the minerals. Mm-hmm. You know, we as human beings, we require minerals, and we don't get them from eating anything but plants. We don't get them from eating animals. We get eat from plants, vegetables, fruits, and particularly the ones that are grown underground, like potatoes. They absorb minerals from the ground, and when we eat these vegetables and minerals, our body takes them out and utilizes them to maintain our body. We are a walking machine based on minerals and water.
There you go. Pretty hard to do without either one of them.
So that's right. Yeah.
We're in big trouble there. Well, I read about one shade. I was going to put it up and I forgot to do it. There was a volcano somewhere along the line. It erupted for 250,000 years. I can't imagine something like that. I would think that would empty the middle of the earth. It would be all the stuff would be up. Yeah. There wouldn't be any core anymore in the center of the earth. So I don't know what's going on there, but 250,000 years.
Yeah. One of the most active spots on the planet is Iceland. Iceland is, one of these creations from under the water. Yes, it's covered in ice, but my goodness, we saw several years ago when I can't pronounce it, so I'm not going to try. A volcano in Iceland erupted, and the reason it did is because the lava came to the surface, and it had to melt its way through the glacier, and it created in the cauldron. It created all this moisture, obviously, and that built up even more pressure. So when it exploded, it went, 7-8 miles in the air. We're talking 35, 40,000 feet in the air. And as you know, it went west into Europe, and it shut down all the air traffic for 3 months across Europe. And it circled the planet in 2 days. So, one of the terrible things about volcanoes is over 800 million people live within 60 miles of an active volcano, including ones that are, active and producing lava right now. And one of the worst things it creates is, besides the ash and the CO2, is what's called proclastic flow. So like Mount St. Helens, when it explodes, depending on the type, and it has all this water like Mount St. Helens, it had to melt all the glacier on Mount St. Helens. So it creates this dense current of ash, and it's called a proclastic flow. And it can come down a mountain at 430 miles per hour. I mean, at temperatures of 1,000 degrees centigrade, that's 1,830 Fahrenheit. So, I mean, we all know the famous Italian one, right? And so they were less than 60 miles away from it, and buried the entire village. And back in the 80s and 70s, you and I saw National Geographic anthropologists, take and clean all the dust and dirt away to find these bodies, in the shape of where they were within minutes of that explosion.
Having some connection issues, so we'll press on here, the volcanoes, as Shane pointed out earlier, not much we can do about them. They're here to stay. We're talking about volcanoes, Shane, while you ducked out for a second, but those things are going to happen regardless of how much gas we burn, or whether we got windmills or whether we got solar panels. It doesn't matter. Volcanoes are still going to blast off, and they're going to affect our atmosphere. They're going to affect our way of life. There's nothing we can do about it. I mean, they're there, and that's the end of it. So,
And it's basically those of you that have seen Old Faithful, and it's it's called Old Faithful because it's reliable, it's hot steam under the ground that erupts. It's the same as volcanoes.
It's a release, pressure release. Yeah,
that's right. There's an island off the south part of Italy. I don't have it on my board, but it's an active volcano right now. It's erupting constantly, and people live right on the island. And it has lava flows like Kilauea in Hawaii, and people learn to live with it. And did you get my pricolastic rant, or was I gone when I was talking about it? About lava flows.
Well, coming down the mountain, we were talking about the speed of it coming down the mountain. Yeah, we got that. Yeah, we did get that. Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, we've. In St. Helens, when that blew, 6 feet of ash or 60 feet of ash in some places, and that's 57 right. people killed. And, it was the most biggest disaster, volcanic disaster in the United States, certainly. So,
yeah, and it's incredible, the new technology. There are maps you can go online and look up, U.S. Geological Survey. And they have these, they've taken, mayonnaise containers, and they filled them with equipment and sensors, and they've basically ringed all these active volcanoes around the world. They have massive rooms. Mm-hmm. You think the rooms you've seen with all the cameras for traffic control in New York City or LA or London for the cameras, these people now have incredible technology in trying to read either the events, you were mentioning about Yellowstone Park earthquakes, mini earthquakes, and or gases being released, and or lakes nearby, because very often there are lakes nearby these active volcanoes that start becoming more acidic because of the gases underneath the lakes. So in 60 years the technology has evolved, and I think man will maybe come very close one day to being able to correctly determine, or at least have some idea of giving people more warning. But it's that 800 million people that in the world, 10%, more than 10% of the world lives within a volcano. And a lot of it has to do with the topsoil. I mean, it's so rich that they can feed themselves with it. Mm-hmm. And, it takes you back to the Egyptian days of the Nile. The Nile would flood every year, bring in new topsoil full of minerals, and they could grow extensive crops along it, and that's how man began being able to grow grains to eat.
I don't know. As I say, there's no answer to volcanoes, certainly. So will all of us driving electric cars be better if all these things blow? I don't think so, but
it won't. And look, the lie about electric cars is very simple. You just have to look at the numbers. We've talked about this. Yes, we got to get off oil, gas, and air jet fuel, and find something else to run trains, planes, and jets. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that they want to make a shift and employ people away from existing cars to a new car. So in the transition in the century, it would allow to employ another maybe 5-10 million people. And that's what it's about. It's about creating jobs. It's not about saving the planet. It's a ruse, baby. It's a dog whistle.
Yeah. Well, when you got to move 500,000 pounds of earth somewhere for one car battery,
you tell me, you know, which you want. No, so yeah, we talked about this on our radio show on Saturday. I gave a little rant on it. So if you want to go to KMMSAM.com, you can hear that rant on our Saturday radio show, and went into great detail about all of the things that have to be mined to produce all this stuff, and how much damage it does to the planet. To, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen a lithium mine, but it's not, it ain't a tourist attraction.
That's right. And you know, there's, you know, basically three types of mining, but the hard rock is, you know, deep. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And in tunneling, and then, you know, you have open pit, and mm-hmm. it's the open pit that basically the lithium comes from, because it's a surface mineral, and so it takes huge amounts of earth moving, and mm-hmm. You know, on plateaus or plains, particularly in South America, to recover it. And you know, it's a very expensive mineral. We've talked about it, right? 420,000 a metric ton. I mean, wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's, you know. Well, and yeah, lithium's gone up 400% in the last year and things like that. So, Carol says, currently watching National Parks from Great Courses on this very scenario. However, we have enough sure threat from man-made global warming to max out stress if you're paying attention. Geology is fascinating. So we would agree with that. It is fascinating stuff. And, you know, that's why we're talking about it, because it, yeah, it is something. See, you got to take all these things into account. You know, if you want electric cars, well, what's the damage to the planet? You got to look at that. And if you talk about global warming, you got to include volcanoes in there. So, you know, I mean, there's all these unintended consequences. Yeah, and thanks for interrupting me. That's all right. Go ahead. Go ahead.
And if you're a secularist and you have no belief in faith or God, and you believe in evolution, mm-hmm. Then you have to believe in the science. You can't deny it. Yeah. So they're caught, mm-hmm. you know, in a corner. You know, yeah. Man is great, mm-hmm. and evolution is how we got here. Oh, but we want to ignore the science of whether we'll survive or not. And, you know, scientists mm-hmm. say, you know, this ball's going to be around for, you know,
it'll be here for a long, long time. That's for sure. But
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
It's gonna be here for a while, whether we're here or not. And you know, if we go, you know, and I've said this before, you know, that the likelihood of intelligent life in the universe is very, very, very remote, very small. Life, yes. Life probably all over the universe, but intelligent life, pretty, I don't know.
No. That's right. I mean, as a sentient being, you know, the ability to have will and thought, we are probably rare. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, given that you accept the science and how long the planet's going to be around, you know, there's going to be an extension event that wipes us out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, eventually. And we won't come back. The dinosaurs didn't come back. The dodo bird hasn't come back. The passenger pigeon hasn't come back. You know, the conditions were the same as when they left, but they're not here. You know, so
that's right. Some survived, you know, like sharks have been mm-hmm. around for 400 million years, crocodiles, alligators, they survived for some. There are some species that survived, and mm-hmm. and we may have been here before. We just don't know it. I mean, aside from volcanoes we talked about and are going to on Thursday, water, baby, and ice ages, you know, because ice ages have had a huge impact on us because they're mm-hmm. also surface. There's surface events that can cause an extinction event.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, we talk about ocean temperatures and all that stuff contributing to, you know, droughts, forest fires, mm-hmm. you know, you name it. All of these things are all contributable. Whether or not they're all directly attached to man is a whole nother. That's a whole nother ball of wax, you know, to talk about. But.
Yeah, that's not even an open book. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a book. It's a book that's still being written, so it's not an open book, and it's all theory.
I was gonna say, Well, it is for the most part. Yeah. So, but yeah, things, you know, if you want to talk about gases and climate change and things like that, how much gas was produced when buffalo were as far as the eye could see across the, all across America? You know, we seem to live through that. Okay. So I don't know.
Right, 100 million strong, you know, right now, the cattle herd in the United States, about 29 million. The pork herd or pig herd in the United States is about 20, and sheep is about 18. So, you know, they don't even come close to the bison and buffalo. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're talking about the buffalo. You got deer, you got elk, you got, antelope, you got every other, thing roaming around the countryside then. So,
the greatness of man, you know, back in the 1800s, in 25 years, they wiped out 100 million bison and buffalo in 25 years for their bear skins. I mean, their buffalo skins, because, for people to have coats in the cold north and east, and sad. Yeah. So they just skinned them, left the meat behind, and wiped them out, baby. They just wiped them out.
Well, they shot them from trains for sport. You know, I mean, it's just. Yeah, I mean, there's it was they were almost extinct at one point. I mean, there was 500 or so left or something like that. Not very many of them anyway. So anyway, we're digressing away from our topic here a little bit.
That's right. A little more history now. Heard a show. It's how, you know.
You got to have it. All right. Hey, I got to remind you, we are live on radio every Saturday. If you look at the crawl down below, we're the air 8 to 11 every Saturday. And you can catch us live at KMMSAM.com. Click listen now. No sign up needed. No emails, nothing, nothing you have to do to sign up or anything like that. Also, our past shows are available at KMMSAM.com. Just click on Tom and Shane's podcast. You get our radio shows. You get these shows, and all in one place. So if you missed anything or if you joined us late, you can go back and get all that stuff. And it'll be, you'll just be better informed. That's all we can say. You know, I mean, that's all I can tell you.
Well, that's what we're trying to do here, and we'd like you to tell your friends and have our watching audience expand, because we feel the things we talk about make a difference.
And we have picked up subscribers. We'd like to thank you very much. If you subscribed, hit the little button down in the lower right-hand corner or under the video, either one. There's two there, so hit one or the other, give us a like, ring the notification bell, tell us you like us. YouTube puts a lot of faith in comments. You know, so by all means, comment if you can. So, all right, that's going to wrap it up for us, Shane, I think. Thanks for watching, everyone. And we will see everybody on Thursday, same time and same place. So we'll see you then. Bye for now.